sticking to a 36% debt to income ratio, I think, is very important at this point in time, because you have inflation out of control, things getting very expensive. Not over leveraging yourself is extremely important all the time, but probably even more important where we are right now, because there's so much uncertainty. So make sure that you stick to that 36 debt to income ratio. Keep in mind that you can refinance, right? So if you see a home and it's got a pretty high rate that just pains you, that you're buying the home at a high rate, remember that rates will go down. Like, it's just a matter of time. So think for the long haul. You think about it as a long-term investment. A high rate kind of is painful right now, but think about it as you might get a good deal on a home because prices are dropping. And don't let the rate deter you. It's going to be still expensive to get in because of the high rate, but eventually over time, you'll be able to refinance and get into a lower rate. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Free Retiree Show. I'm your host, Wealth Manager Lee Michael Murphy. Today, we're talking about real estate. Everyone wants to buy their next home. Everyone is interested in real estate, but what is it doing? Today, we're going to talk about the housing market and things that you need to consider if you're planning on buying a property in 2023. So for all of you that are out there, I'm sure you guys have heard people that you know that are very bullish on real estate. And they might say things, real estate only goes up. It never goes down. It's invincible. Real estate is the magic asset class. Until now. And the truth is, real estate has had many moments in history where it has not done well. It's not as volatile as stocks generally, but it does fluctuate in value. And most of us aren't aware of how much it fluctuates because we don't see flashy lights every day on the news, but it does go up and down, and it's not as volatile, but it does have periods of ups and downs. And generally though, when it's good, it stays good for a while. And then what's down, it generally takes a little while to recover. It takes a little bit longer than stocks. So let's take a look at the recent data that's come in and just see how the real estate market is doing. So existing home sales declined in January, and that's 12 months in a row. They actually declined 0.7% from December. And from 1 year ago, they're basically down about 36.9%. That is significant in terms of sales. The values haven't gone down close to the sales numbers, but I think that's a sign of price drops in the future. If we're looking at the cost to buy a home, basically, rates have doubled from a year ago. So that's significant. And that is the main thing that's driving this, the lack of sales and the reduction in prices that we're seeing all over the place. If we look at some markets and observe how they've performed, let's take San Francisco, for example. Since last April, they have declined about 35%. So these are homes in the Bay Area. The median home that was sold in January was for $1 million. And that's roughly about $500,000. And then if we look January to January, we're looking at decreases of roughly 17%. So there has been significant declines for people that decide to purchase in the last year and a half. But for those that have had their real estate for multiple years, they're still sitting pretty. If we look at Alameda County, year over year, down roughly 17%, down 31% from the high. So basically, there's about 480,000 that's been cut off the prices. If we look at the Central Valley, is down roughly 15% from the highs in May of 2022. Southern California overall has dropped roughly 13% from May of 2022. And if we look at the state of California as a whole, median sold home was right around 751,000, which goes back to the February 2021 prices. And as we've said before on our podcast, real estate is very dependent on location. But if we're looking at everything as a big average, we're looking at prices right around the spring of 2021. So we've gone back down to that price level. If we look at the supply of housing, that generally tells a story of how the market's doing in real estate. 4 months or less of supply, that is definitely a seller's market. Once you go to the 4 month to 6 months of supply, that's kind of a balanced market. And then 6 months or more, you're in a buyer's market. So at the end of 2021, we had only 7 weeks of supply. That is crazy. That means houses were just flying off the shelves. If we fast forward over to 2022, we had roughly, and this is just at the end of 2022, which is not that long ago, there was roughly 12.9 weeks of supply. And fast forward to where we are right now, we are looking at roughly 16.5 months of supply sitting on the markets. Last year, we went from a super hot market for sellers to now a balanced market, but we did it in a very quick amount of time. So let's talk about why we're seeing this pullback. First, let's talk about the stocks. People always talk like stocks and real estate are just so different and there's no correlation. And that just really couldn't be further from the truth. When you think about it, it really doesn't make sense to put them in two different categories that they don't impact each other. Stocks are always a leading indicator and they kind of tell what's going to happen to the economy. Real estate is a lagging indicator. Now, most of the time, stocks are good. They go up and down. There's a lot of gyrations month over month, but overall, for long periods of time, they do well. Unfortunately, for 2022, that wasn't the case. They had a really rough year. But, you know, since they were down for a long period of time, it's only natural to see their impact on real estate. And it eventually shows up. It just takes longer. So we can see that from stocks going down, real estate was kind of destined to have some trials and tribulations. And that's what we're seeing right now. Generally, when you have periods in the economy that go through a rough patch, it shows up first in the bond market. For people that are in crypto, I'm starting to see that the pattern shows up in crypto pretty quick. Then it goes right into the stocks. And then down the line, it ends up trickling into real estate. We see the impact of the decline much further down the road. The other thing that we are looking at is there is a strong historical correlation between rising rates and demand for real estate going down. Now, we can say that people want to keep buying, they want to keep buying, but really they're paying so much more than they were a year ago. And that is tough psychologically to get over. And it's also tough on the pocketbook to get over. It's very tough to pay 40%, 50% more than you could have paid a year ago. So we are seeing that slowing down the real estate market. And at 7% rates, to expect the real estate market to just start heating up and going to the crazy markets we've seen over the last decade, I don't see it happening. It's really not feasible. I mean, I could be wrong on that, but you know, the cost is just so much higher. That's going to have an impact some way or another. And then we're seeing buying purchasing power is going down. And that's due to a couple things. Stocks, number one, going down, right? Going back to the beginning, stocks is where a lot of people keep their money. So if stocks portfolios get cut in half or people with company stocks lose 80% of their value, what are they going to use to buy that real estate? That asset has just been heavily discounted and, you know, it's not going to buy what it once did. So purchasing power from stocks is going down. And then you have inflation that's making everything in life just way more expensive. So that's why we are seeing the real estate market start to struggle. And I think we are in the beginning stages of this. I do expect between January and February, when the data comes out, it's going to probably be better just because there's a lot of people that were sidelined waiting to buy their home at the beginning of the year around the Super Bowl time because they thought that's when things would pick up. But for long-term buyers going out many months, the data isn't really showing us that yet. Maybe something could change, but right now it's not looking good in that area. Let's end with, you know, what to consider if you are going to buy a home in 2023. First thing, realize that real estate varies from market to market. When we talk about real estate, a lot of times people can generalize it as it is the same across the US or the world. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Real estate is very unique to each market. Each market is different, and there's sub markets within those markets. So within a city, one neighborhood could be great and the other side of town could be terrible. So realize that. Yes, we speak in generalities about things like stocks and real estate, but remember that it's very dependent on its area. So that doesn't mean you're not going to find good opportunities, even though it might not be the best market. Secondly, sticking to a 36% debt to income ratio, I think, is very important at this point in time, because you have inflation out of control, things getting very expensive. Not over leveraging yourself is extremely important all the time, but probably even more important where we are right now, because there's so much uncertainty. So make sure that you stick to that 36 debt to income ratio. Third, keep in mind that you can refinance, right? So even though if you see a home and it's got a pretty high rate that just pains you, that you're buying the home at a high rate, remember that rates will go down. Like, it's just a matter of time. So think for the long haul and think about it as a long-term investment. Yes, the high rate kind of is painful right now, but think about it as you might get a good deal on a home because prices are dropping, and don't let the rate deter you. Yes, it's going to be still expensive to get in because of the high rate, but eventually over time, you'll be able to refinance and get into a lower rate. Or you can talk to your real estate professional or lender about a rate buydown. A lot of people are doing that in this market. And then lastly, the thing you want to keep in mind right now is that there's very low inventory. That means that there's not going to be a crash. All the people keep talking about there's going to be a real estate crash like 2008. There is no data out there that shows us that it's possible right now. There's not anything like people buying homes, no money down. It's been very hard for people to buy a home over the past decade because of the underwriting. So we don't have this debt issue in real estate where it could all come crashing down. I mean, yes, you're going to have some more foreclosures, but the issues that we dealt with during the great financial crisis just aren't there. So those are the things that I would be on the lookout for if you're trying to buy in 2023. And remember, a lot of times when I talk about real estate and stocks, I can be more pessimistic, or I can sound like I am, but really my opinion of real estate is it is one of the greatest wealth creation tools that I have ever seen. I recommend it for all my clients to try to work towards that, achieve that. And there's always going to be a good time to buy, and there's always going to be a bad time to buy. But you shouldn't let, you know, the focus on good time versus bad time be your everything, because it doesn't matter if you hold on to the property for a long period of time. Make sure you have the right financial strength to buy the home. Pick a great location. And even if you buy at the worst of times, it's going to work out for you, and you're going to make a lot of money. You're going to create wealth, generational wealth, just doing it. And remember, the biggest mistake that we see is people that procrastinate, and never pull the trigger. That is the most dangerous thing out of all this. Make sure you plan out what you're going to do. Have a target date in mind, and make sure you have the right financial structure. And then go ahead and make that purchase if your finances support it. Hopefully that's been helpful. You've been listening to the Free Retiree Show. So long for now. Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA, www.finra.org, SIPC, www.sipc.org, a separate entity. Lee Michael Murphy is licensed with the California Department of Insurance, license 0H18660. Lee Michael Murphy is an investment advisor representative with Securities America Advisors, a registered investment advisor. The Free Retiree, Securities America Advisors, and Securities America Incorporated are separate entities. Career Advisor Sergio Patterson, Attorney Matt McElroy are not affiliated with Securities America Advisors or Securities America Incorporated. Securities America Advisors, Securities America Incorporated, and its representatives do not provide tax or legal advice. Therefore, it's important to coordinate with your tax or legal advisor regarding your specific situation. The content heard in this podcast is not intended to be tax, investment, or legal advice, and is intended as general guidance only. You should contact your own tax advisor, financial advisor, or attorney to answer questions about your specific situation or needs before acting upon this information. Third-party sourced information or comments are not verified, may not be accurate, and are not necessarily representative of all client or audience experience. A portion of this event was paid by a third party. The opinions of career advisor Sergio Patterson do not reflect the opinions of Facebook Inc. The opinions of attorney Matt McElroy do not reflect the opinions of Castaneda and Company.